Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home. Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home.
Welcome to the Free Birth Society podcast. This is a radical space for women who are ready to celebrate their autonomous choices in birth, motherhood, and beyond. Together, we'll learn about wild birth through personal narrative, we'll explore the politics of birth, and we'll analyze everything that relates to our lives as women from a feminist perspective. Here's your host, Emily Saldaya.
It's been a while, freedom child.
Welcome, Joy. So happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Emily.
So let's just start at the beginning. Who are you before you have these four beautiful children? What is your life like? How old are you when you become a mom? And just take us into this snapshot of who you are as you become a mom with your first child.
Okay, so I'm Joy. I'm originally from Bronx, New York. And I think before a mom was just like, fitness crazy. I guess like everybody else, just trying to find myself, you know. One thing I did, I was heavy into fitness, nutrition, health and wellness, not so much on the maybe home remedy side of things, but that's who I was in the beginning. So I became a mom, I guess you want to say maybe a little later than in life, because I became a mom at 29. I don't even know what else to say about that.
So you get pregnant and why do you choose a medical midwife with your first? Like, why don't you go the hospital route?
So number one, I don't do hospitals. I think I look at hospitals as some place for sick people to be. If you're sick, if you're injured, I mean, to a point where you can't care for yourself, then you go to the hospital. And I just don't view birthing moms as being sick or injured or anything like that, needing medical attention. That's one. Two, there's been a long, and you're no stranger to this, I know you know this, long history of abuse with my people in the medical world. And it's just like, I do not trust the medical professionals.
Stay away.
Yes. And I think the third answer for that would be, I don't know if you've ever had smelled something and it generates a memory. Like it's so
cool. Of course.
It generates a memory from years ago. So when I was younger, unfortunately, I lost my oldest brother, but I was very young. And a lot of the memories I have were visiting him in the hospital. So that scent is like, so powerful. And I can remember going to see somebody in the hospital a little later in life and walking in and having to walk out because I couldn't make it, you know? I think there's a mixture of all of that. I mean, long story short, I just have a big mistrust for them. I just don't. So when I first got pregnant, I did have a gynecologist and I went to just kind of verify it with her. And then when she found out I wasn't going to take it further with her, because she's like, wait, what are your plans for this birth? And I was like, well, I contacted a midwife. Like I just knew to go that route. And I think I saw previously years before when I wasn't even thinking about having children, I saw a documentary on TV and it was beautiful mama who had, they were documenting a home birth and they showed a home birth. It just looked stunning. And I was like, that is the way I'm bringing my children into this world. And it just kind of like stuck with me. So when I did get pregnant and I found out, and she's like, she found out that I contacted a midwife. I had a consultation set up and I just kind of knew that was the way I was going. Back then, I didn't know anything about unassisted, free birthing, anything like that. It was just like, hospital or midwife. This is what I knew. She scolded me. She like got really upset with me. And she tried to tell me all the dangers of having a home birth. and yada, 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 yada. But I'm like very stubborn and strong-minded a lot of times. So I just basically looked at her and was like, salute. I looked at her and I was like, okay, yeah. And I just kind of shook my head to everything and never went back.
Yeah.
And it's funny because my mom has the same gynecologist. So she kind of had to tell her about the successes of what happened, my birth. So I did that. I saw the midwife. I really fell in love with her. She was really sweet, very cool, very laid back and relaxed. And
And this
just,
is a home birth
this is a
midwife?
home birth. Yeah.
Okay.
So
Okay.
we're like 2 boroughs away from each other. I mean, 2 hour train ride. It's a
Oh,
long.
wow.
It's a long. I'm Bronx, she's Brooklyn. So, but I made it happen. I was like, she's the one that I felt connected to when I was looking up her information. So I'm gonna make it happen. Yeah, seeing her every month, it was cool, but it was for me, it was a lot because I had to travel so far to see her. Yeah.
Oh, she didn't
A
come
lot
to
of
you.
times, no, a lot of times it was like she had the Doppler and she would just listen to the heartbeat. I mean, besides that, it was like maybe taking my blood to figure out my iron levels, things of that nature. But she was very like, introduce you to certain things and you could say no to this. So I was like, is this mandatory? No. Okay, no. So I note everything. I mean, a lot of testing and things of that nature that women normally get, I just said no to. That was it. So I had her for my first birth. Now, when that happened, it was beautiful. My first, second birth, they were so like light and breezy. And I had my girls, right? She came to the house and it was very, very hands off, And but with my first birth, something when it was getting closer to the due date, and I don't think I realized at 42 weeks they transferred you. I don't know. Like, I mean, at the time I was like, my due date came around and she's like, how you feel? And I'm like, I'm great. She's like, oh, you're not, the baby's not coming anytime soon because I still felt like I could keep going. So at some point when it was getting closer to 42 weeks, she came and sat with us, like, hey, what's going on? And just kind of, ask questions and pick through things and had us kind of deep dive in ourselves. So me and my husband had a conversation, we cried it out, and there was certain some things. Like, I've never been afraid of labor. I've never been afraid of birth, pregnancy, anything. I think in that sense, I was afraid of being a new mom. And that was like, supposedly holding things for me. Whatever, we talked, we cried that same night, my contractions started. Don't know if it's linked to, if the baby's gonna come when it's gonna come. I'm not sure if you've really had something to do with it or not, but that's what happened. So that birth went smoothly. She brought a doula in with her. I never hired a doula, and I work as a doula. Well, I was working as a doula before my last birth, but I've never hired one myself. So she brought this woman in. She was amazing, hip squeezes, all that good stuff. And I had my baby in the pool. So that was beautiful. And she's the one that caught the baby. It's the midwife, and she kind of slides her under to me. I guess she unraveled the cord and slides her under, and I pull her up and out. So about this similar kind of situation with my second birth. She wasn't there. She was out of town. So she had a stand-in midwife and she was very hands-off too. Very just in the room, being there with you, letting you do your thing. And that was a beautiful, like easy breezy. So about third birth, I thought third birth, my son was gonna like fly out. I was like, this is baby number three. I got this. I have one, two. He's gonna come like. And around that time when I was pregnant with him, I actually considered free. I was like, should I do an unassisted birth? And I brought it to my husband, and he's kind of like, are you sure? You sure you want to do this? And I hadn't really sat and thought about it and considered. And then because we had the same midwife for the first two, and we were comfortable with her, we were just like, yeah, let's just go back to her. It's not a thing. But his birth was a turning point for me.
There are deep, powerful secrets to your own sacred experience of womanhood that no one in your life knew to tell you. The time has come to fully awaken the wise woman within you and to claim your place on the ancient path of supporting holistic women's health. You're well aware of the devastating reality that is modern fertility, modern menstruation, industrial birth, the way our society treats menopause, and really all of the rites of passage for women from start to finish. We are countless generations deep now with girls initiated into womanhood with deep, lifelong, toxic shame. Grown women have no idea how to tell when they're fertile, how to prevent pregnancy, how to address menstrual challenges without pharmaceuticals. There's no room for how to harness the wisdom and gifts of our cycle's phases. Women are afraid of their own bodies, and they teach this to their daughters, and their daughters teach it to their daughters. This just isn't good enough, not for me, not for you, and certainly not for our daughters. And here we are, together in this time, wanting to do better, wanting to be better, to break the shame cycle, and to leave our lineage injected with power, wisdom, strength, and self-love. Join us for the next round of the Blood Mystery School. Our highly coveted program is channeled and run by two long-standing sisters of mine, women who are core leaders within Matriarch Rising Festival and Free Birth Society. Nancy Lucina is a shamanic facilitator and medicine woman. Kristen Hauser is a woman's holistic health expert. Together, they take you on a potent 8-week journey where you walk the medicine wheel of your own menstrual cycle's archetypes so that you can learn to guide the women of your community through cycle healing of all iterations. You will address the spiritual, energetic, hormonal, and biological aspects of every phase of the female cycle so that you are fully equipped to become the radical, sovereign cycle coach that your community really needs. The Blood Mystery School will pave the way for your career in cycle and fertility coaching, holistic women's health, and ceremony facilitation. This knowledge is foundational to any work in birth or women's health at large. We only run the Blood Mystery School once a year, so make sure you're on the wait list. The link is below. It is time that you walk with the knowledge all the women, and I do mean all, around you need to know. Let's be the ones that steer our bloodlines toward embodiment once and for all.
It was a roller coaster. So going into his birth, I didn't have with my daughters. I had the, I guess they call it prodromal labor, where you, well, the startup of labor when you're feeling it for days and nothing happens. It starts to stop. I had that with him. And then, so I knew my body was preparing for him and he was coming soon. When contractions, well, surges, I hate calling it contractions. When the surges started, they were back to back. So I was timing them for about an hour or two, the way they tell you to time them when, which I know different now, but I'm just sharing what I knew at the moment. So once it got to a certain point when they were, you know, steady, I called the midwife. Plus she's so far away, maybe like 40 some minutes drive. So I called her and she's like, well, do you think you're going to go into labor soon or not? And I'm like, I wish I knew that answer. I can't tell you that. But what I did notice when she picked up the phone, she sounded tired and, you know, just not wanting to go at it. Maybe she just came from a birth.
Okay.
But yeah, so that energy I did feel. Mm-hmm. 10 o'clock at night when I called, she's like, well, okay, well, I'll just come in, I guess, hearing how close or back to back the surges were.
And she's 2 hours away.
Well, 2 hours by train. She's probably like 40 some minutes by car. I didn't have a car in New York. So gotcha. That's why it was. So she gets to us and it's probably around midnight, maybe a little bit before midnight. So while waiting for her, I just jump in the shower, I get out. By the time she gets to us, she comes upstairs and she checks me and she like just her energy is just like she doesn't want to be there. And you know, you feel it, you can sense it.
That is so
I'm like very sensitive to energy.
Yeah.
Like,
of
she's working
course.
hard and everything. I would never take anything from her, but I did feel like she rather be in bed sleeping. You know what I mean? So she checks me and she's kind of like, okay, you're 4 centimeters. And she listens to the baby and her face is just like concern. So I'm looking at her like, what's happening? And she's checking again. And what I know now, in my experience, because I didn't do doula until after that birth, right? So working as a doula and assisting other women through their births, I understand, like I know now what the heart rate was supposed to be, but or what's a good range. At the time, I didn't hear going every month to see her and hearing the baby, that sticks in your head. So when she checked me, I didn't hear anything off about it, but she did. She felt like the heart rate was too high. And at the same time, she took my temperature. I had a low fever of 101, just random, I guess, fever that popped up. My body is just getting prepared, what I would think of it was. I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel horrible. I just kind of felt like I needed to lay down a little bit. So she was uncomfortable with that. And she goes, okay, I think you guys are going to have to go to the hospital.
I mean, this is the thing. Midwives, when they don't want to be there, manufacture transfer.
That's it.
We all of us are collecting evidence for whatever it is we unconsciously believe.
Right.
And if she unconsciously, I don't think these women do this, in this like evil, forebrain way, but it is, I think, still evil because it's intentional harm because it's completely unethical. And this happens all the freaking time.
It does. I've seen it. I've seen it. As a doula, I've seen it, so I know.
Like,
And
how convenient. She's
I right.
you've already paid her, and oh, all of a
And then
sudden
it's
you
like,
feel a little warm.
and it was only like 150 something in the beginning, but that sound, it didn't sound like everything in me was like, I'm fine, my baby's fine, we're healthy, we're strong, we're good. That's the first thing I heard out of her mouth after telling me I had a fever of 101 and that my baby's heart rate is high. I think y'all need to go to the hospital. So me and my husband looking at each other like, and this is COVID time, like high 2020 is when I had him, So this is
Worst case scenario.
everything shut down. You being in the hospital, you're not going to be with your partner. It would just, I don't like the hospital on a normal day. So COVID time is going to be like,
Oh my
no.
God, tell me you didn't go.
No. Oh,
Thank
no.
God.
I
Thank
am
God.
stubborn as a mule.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
At times
Can't stand
I
it.
went through moments where I was like, should I? Am I doing the right thing? And then I'm like, I'm not going. So I just kind of froze. And I was like, my husband saw my face. He read everything without me saying anything. So he turns to her and he's like, well, how much time? Because she said, we got to get this fever down or whatever. He said, how much time can you give us? She said, 2 hours tops. He's like,
Some
okay.
like arbitrary amount of time
So in this 2 hours, Emily, this was like a nightmare. In this 2 hours, we're squatting, we're dancing, I'm walking down the stairs, we're like hip circling. I'm doing like everything with tees, whatever I have, just to get, it's like, get this baby out, get this baby out, or hospital,
There's a quote by my elder midwife, Sister Morningstar. She says, if you want to stress the baby, stress the mother.
Yes.
And it's so interesting how these dots are never actually logically connected. Because if this woman was actually nervous about a tachycardic baby, which would be a stressed out baby, to then, especially after so many years of knowing you and serving you, to then suggest a place that you are so firm on not feeling safe and put that as an ultimatum. Like, it's so contradictory to what would actually help a mother, and most importantly, help, the baby who in this storyline she's claiming to be concerned about. You know
Right,
what I'm saying?
right.
Ah.
It was horrendous. It was like up and down. And all of these things that we're doing, my contractions, I mean, my surges are just like leaving. So they're
Of course.
stopping because there's this, it's like having to fight you're like, you know, you're supposed to be in this calm, positive space.
Right.
And then what you're being told by this midwife is like not calming at all. It's like nerve wracking. So to fight that and still try mm-hmm. to be a place of peace. Oh my right. God. That's like, that was crazy to go through.
Paradoxical. Yeah.
So we get to that 2 hour mark. I still had the 101 fever. The heart rate is still kind of not where she wants it to be. So she says it again, and we both look at her like this is not happening. He's like, my husband, like, she's not. I don't think she. So she goes, and this is horrible. I kick myself to this day. I'm hard on myself. But she goes, okay, I know you guys are not like this, and you don't do this kind of thing. But I know Tylenol to take fevers down fast. Mm. So she's like, in my mind, I'm like, Tylenol? Hospital. Give me the Tylenol. I don't care. We don't have any in the house. She doesn't have any with her. We literally have to knock on a neighbor's doors after midnight. So my neighbor had like a children's whatever Tylenol. She just gave me the whole bottle. I take one, and at some point it works. It brings it down. Now, I hate Tylenol. Tylenol is like poison. Like, but I was like, okay, I took it. It brought it down, but it didn't like kick up any, you know, surges or anything. So it's still like operation, try to get this baby out mm-hmm. as fast as we can. So we're going about the day. It go, you know, middle of the night, it comes back, the fever.
Mm.
Well, well, well. So again, she's saying it again. I really think you guys need to go to the hospital. And at that point, I just like, I remember sitting on the floor, I just cried because yeah. I'm just like, I'm exhausted. I'm like, there's no way in my mind. I'm like, I wish this lady would stop saying this because I'm not fucking going to the hospital. Like, she's going to have to pry me out of this house. But then that's when you have the battle with yourself. Like, okay, am I doing the right thing? Am I like, but I'm strongly listening to my intuition over what she's saying, because it got to the point where my husband was really like, Joy, I think maybe we should listen and go to the hospital. It'll be okay. We get your mom over here, blah, blah, blah. And when he said that, I was crying because I like, call it a vision, call it whatever. I literally saw my baby being okay and me not making it out. And I was like,
whoa.
Yeah, it just broke down. And I look at him, I'm like, going, and she just she just had to stay. She stuck it out. She didn't have to, but she stayed there. I did not go. And she's like, okay, well, she had me take a second Tylenol. So I take the second Tylenol. It eventually, you know, amongst teas and whatever else I took, it takes the fever away. The fever never comes back after that, but the surges are like boom, 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 you know, they're here and then they go away. They're here, then they go away. A full day. It was like 24 hours.
Of wow.
We went from 10 o'clock when I called her all the way to the next day. My son was like born at 8 p.m.
You gotta wonder what that birth story would have been if she hadn't have been involved with all the
men. Oh my God. I've unpacked that story like 50 million times. I'm like, if this would have happened, because I understand now, I understand he was not ready to come out.
Yeah.
Okay. It was like, because she was there, because she's on, you know, she had to travel all the way from where she came from. I'm on her time clock now. She checked me. I'm kind of in her care. Yeah. Let's get this baby out. When it should have been, okay, he's not ready to come out. She could have went home and left me to about my day. He would have came maybe the next day or the following day, whatever. I now know we like just kind of we're trying to force him out, because before, to get my surges to really, really keep like kick in, I remember drinking, she gave me castor oil to drink down.
Mm.
I just made a video about castor oil. I'm like, don't do it. Don't drink the castor oil. But that is what kept them going. So he comes at 8 something at night. And of course he needs, by the time he's born, I mean, once she found out I had a fever, the water birth was like a dub. There was no water birth happening. Yeah. She was just
why?
Like, couldn't be in water. She's, I don't know.
Literally makes no sense. I wonder what their
Logic was, right? I wasn't sure. She couldn't. So he was the only one I had on the bet. I had to have
The only place to birth,
it.
everyone knows if a mom has a moderate to low fever. It
It's
makes
on
sense.
the bed,
You
yeah.
also didn't have a fever at the time of delivery.
No, I did not.
Ew.
I did
So
not. It
annoying.
went away.
I
So,
mean, this is obviously, this is what happens when we give our decision making
a
to
power over.
people, especially people who know nothing about normal physiological birth.
Right. He
So
was.
annoying. So how is the actual emergence? Is she like super freaked out about baby and assessing baby, or
He
do you
is
get your stuff?
like, well, when he comes out. No, she's like cool as a cucumber normally. This
Nice.
is why, like, I mean, it's really like no emotion sometimes on her face. It's like it's kind of hard to read her at some points. And then, but he comes out and he needs a little startup. I actually didn't remember until I watched the video. So we have a little video of his birth, and she had to blow a couple breaths for him.
Like with the bag?
No.
Okay.
And then
She, but she recessed him, not you.
Right. And then she handed him to me, and I just kept rubbing, like just kept going with it. I rubbed his back and just kept him going. So he was his, he just needed a little startup. He was fine coming out, but you could see
Well,
he
but
was exhausted. He
also,
was exhausted.
did he need a startup? Like,
So I felt maybe a little, heart to heart and just
oh, of course.
skin. He probably
But
would.
some like random woman he doesn't know kissing him, and forcing us, gosh, it drives me nuts. It's so crazy to me that women, that providers think it could ever be appropriate to take that from the mother. Like, the mother will always bring a baby to life best. Always.
I believe that. I believe that. And after that, that was just like it was because going through that story over and over and over to myself, I was just like, yeah, this could have gone so differently and so much better. I wouldn't have been forced to do anything. I wouldn't have been forced to get him out. He would have just came when he came. And it was that changed, that kind of whole deal for me, which is like, and not to switch so fast, but so I started working as I did doula training while I was pregnant with him. It's my third pregnancy. So after I felt like ready to go, I mean, I stay home, they breastfeed for a long time, and then I'm like, okay, let me start practicing, putting my training to work. So I started working with a midwife here in Florida, and that experience, awesome, because I got to see a whole lot, and I got to see what I like and what I don't like and what I agree with and what I don't agree with. And I knew that I was, when I got pregnant the fourth time, I was like, there's no midwife, because it was, I mean, as awesome as a person as she is, I just something she would do would literally, I would have to leave. I mean, I'm sure I know you're empath too. I'm like empath times 10, and I feel everything, and the energy, and some things, just like letting moms birth on their back, and moms would literally come in and they would want to be on all fours, and they wanted any position but their back, and they will end up birthing on their backs.
Oh, of course.
I would just be like, oh, like struggling, because and internally, because I can't, Joy can't say anything for you, this little doula. And I've been a midwife for X amount of years, and I know what I'm doing. So it's like holding that stuff in, it was a lot for me. It was a lot for me to see, but it was a lot of good experience, so that I just kind of went further with that, read more and looked into more natural ways of doing this and that and third. So I was ready. And even when I kind of kept it quiet, too, going into this fourth birth, because I was like, everyone's not going to understand. They don't understand me anyway. I'm just like the black weirdo of the family, so they don't understand me anyway. But I was the first to do what I did as a home birth. I mean, the first that I know of. I don't have anybody in my family who has done it outside the hospital. So that was like, okay, well, that's joy. Leave her alone. So that when I decided to do a free birth, I know my mom was like, she was not feeling that. And she attended every single birth. This one, except for the last one, because it was hard for her because we're in two different states now. But I think another part of it was because she didn't 100% agree with my decision. And that's fine. I was like, it's okay. But when I say the best decision I've ever made, I'm not, and we want more. And it's just going to be free birthing from here on out, because regardless of what anyone had to say, or, oh, yeah, that's awesome, but I think you should get a midwife just in case this happened, just in case. So I was like, you know what? Just in case this happened, I could do this. Just in case this. And so I really read up on, you know, possible complications and natural ways to handle them. So I was.
And it's always kind of funny with those people to be like, just in case what?
Yes.
Like what do you think would happen that a medical midwife would magically save the life of me and my baby? Like, please tell me. No one knows shit.
No.
You're going to go, I don't know. Isn't it just the heart rate? Like,
it's the idea of, because they went to school for X amount of years, that they know way more than you know. Same thing in the medical, you know, the hospitals and stuff. This person went to
school. But to be fair, there are definitely branches of medicine. Like, I don't know how to fix a broken bone.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? But there, that is, like you said, sick and broken and diseased and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't know. Right. I could be argued that, I don't know, that disease people should be in the hospital, but like broken bone, let's go there. I'm not going to argue that. A broken bone, you know, because of the eradication of all medicine people of our cultures and lineages, there are no people that know how to fix bones. Of course, people in history knew how to do that. That weren't doctors, of course. Mm-hmm. It's not like only 100 years ago, like the white man came over from England and brought fixing bones. Like, that's right. That's not real. It's been eradicated. And so the only option is to go to like the satanic, you know, central, you know, stations that are in every city and get your, you know, bone fixed and hopefully not get abused and humiliated and, you know, everything else in the process. But I digress.
You are on point with that.
But it's completely different when we're talking about a biological event. It would be funny if it wasn't so dark. You know, there is a layer of satire to this whole thing because it's so absurd.
Yeah.
So you're just like, it's free birth or bust. People aren't going to get it. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And tell me how this goes in your marriage. It, you know, does he skip a beat? Does he take a minute? Or is it just really, is he on board with you? What's that like?
He had anxiety in the beginning. He was like, are you sure? But because he trusts me in my judgment, and he knows I like have dissected and read, and he just trusted my judgment and intuition and knowledge on all this. And he's like, okay, babe, I'm with you on this. But to kind of like ease his mind, I gave him a book to read. I was like, here, read this. I think it was like The Unassisted Birth or whatever. And I was like, read that. It'll make you feel better, because he's Aquarius, very logical. He needs, you know, things need to make sense, and he needs facts, and he needs things of that nature. So I was like, read this. It'll make you feel better. And it did. It made him feel better. He's still going to be like, because he's the protector of the family and, you know, but he was on board. He was like, I'm with it. If you feel great, I'm great. Like, I'm just, let's do it.
I think it's also such a good point, you know, for women listening who are navigating this, because it's very normal for, or not normal, it's very common for, you know, partners to have hesitation or nervousness, or as Joy said, anxiety. And I think it's important to say here that that's fine.
It is.
It's totally fine if your partner is scared, if he doesn't get it, if he makes up that if he were a woman, he'd make a different decision. Like, it's fine. You know, I do so many sessions with women who are like, you know, I wanna do it this way, but I can't because my husband's not on board. Mm. And it's like, wow, so you've made up that your life is based, your decision making is based on his comfort
Exactly.
level. And that's silly. Somebody's fear should not be the leader of your decision making.
Exactly.
And so you're a beautiful example of this, of it's completely fine that he was nervous. You know, what is anxiety? It's fear, right? So
Yeah.
he had fear. Of course he did. Like, of course, not all men do, but when they do, I always say, of course you do.
Right.
Why wouldn't you until
They
you don't?
didn't go through it. They're not the ones birthing. They're not
But
the
also, he's been highly groomed to be terrified of this,
Right.
you know, and he's unraveling that, you know, by being at your side. But of course he's afraid, and you are the one obviously that has to do it, but also you're the one in the marriage for this particular situation that has the clarity and the intuition. Well, then
Exactly.
that makes you the goddamn leader. Like, why is
Yes.
that so hard for everyone to
It's not that hard. It's easy. Like
understand?
I've had that. I've heard people say stuff like that, and then the same reason why they don't want to birth at home or anything of that nature because their husband wasn't. And it's your, I feel like it's the woman's job to just school him a little bit. If you know more than he knows about this.
Well, yes, but you got to be careful with the whole schooling thing because that's a very heroic persona women will take on. Will they'll where there will it's very misogynistic because they'll be like, like women all the time, you know, contact us and they're like, can you give me the research on why I shouldn't circumcise or why I shouldn't do vitamin K? My husband isn't on board. He needs the facts. He's very science-based. He needs the facts. And so my point is that she is taking on his work. If he wants the facts, look it up. It's never been easier to learn about this stuff, but women take on so often this really bizarre, and really like toxic dynamic where she has to convince him to be on board with her decision making, which is a really weird hierarchical dynamic that's not going to bode well also in an autonomous birth.
Right. No,
Anyway.
it's not because you need the energy to be peaceful all around when you're birthing, you know?
And just like grow up.
Yeah.
When are you going to be an adult? You're about to have a baby.
A lot of times, I mean, if when you look up things online, it's very misleading. So you
That's
can't
true.
believe
I
everything.
mean, you need to know where to look. That's
Right,
totally true.
you
And
do.
there's a difference of like being curious about something versus doing all of the work for your partner so that he doesn't feel
Right.
fear, so that you are allowed to do what you want. Like that's a dynamic I see playing out over and over again. It's very strange. Okay, but anyway, back to you. Where are we? So it's obvious to you what you're doing. And is there anything else you want to say about your pregnancy before you tell us your free birth story? And do you have a wild pregnancy? Like, what decisions do you make there?
The pregnancy was so I love to work out. Normally when I get pregnant, I slow it up a little bit. You know, I'm not doing anything like crazy like before. So I go in hardcore before pregnancy. Pregnancy, I kind of mellow out and just kind of maintain. But this pregnancy, the fourth one, I chilled. This was the most relaxed pregnancy. I think number one, I was out of the city. I wasn't in crazy New York City. I didn't have to travel trains and be around, you know, strange people all day
Oh
long.
my God,
I
so
was in, you know, the Florida sunshine all the time. So I literally, maybe I worked out a couple times here and there, but I like sat back. It was so relaxed. Had my sea moss every day. I'm just like, oh, just in my little world, not stressing anything. And it felt so good. It felt good not to have to see anyone, not to have to be checked, not to, you know, be like, oh, this is your timeline. And then once you get closer, feel freaked out if your baby's not, you know, on their time. And, you know, all my children, I hate due dates, but all my children come well after the damn stupid due date. But this was the most free as far as pregnancy goes. Free pregnancy that I had, most relaxed ever. I didn't have to, you know, do much of anything other than what I normally do in my household. So we get to, and he's, so I guess he was due, whatever. And April. So I'm thinking he's gonna be April Aries, like my first son. And he just, I would feel surges and then nothing, and I would feel surges and then it would go away. And what I want women to understand too is your water will leak for days sometimes, and people get freaked out about that too. But I trickled here and then nothing. And then I have a surge here and then nothing. So that carried on. But when it started, when I say he came so fast, we like the night when the surges started, they kicked in and they were, I mean, some mild, and I don't wake my husband for anything, It's mild, but they're coming back to back. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. So once it started getting a little stronger, the sensation already. I'm like, I know it's time. I said, babe, okay, I think we got to get up and just blow up the pool, right? Fill it up. Literally, the moment he finished filling the pool and I stepped in, my son was coming out. Like it was that fast. It was so amazing. And I had my coconut water, I had my teas ready, I had tinctures if I needed it. My children wanted to be involved. They were asleep because it was early morning. But when I stepped in the pool and felt, I was like, you better wake them up now because they're gonna miss it. He woke them up so they could be there. So they were with me. My daughter was trying to record and she got some a lot of nothing, most of my behind and nothing else, but he came so fast and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I mean, I think three surges and he was out.
Wow.
Was amazing. And I just pulled him up and getting to pick him up yourself and not have anybody touch your baby before you touch your baby was like everything. And just, rub him a little bit, rub him, and just hear him cry. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I mean, and it's like all of that. And the first thing after everything kind of calmed down, and my husband and I cry, first thing I think about is calling my mom. You go into this like little girl mode, I need to call my mom. And I think a part of me really wish she was there too, because she attended the first three births. But it was amazing. I mean, I can't stress it enough how free, like, and I understand not, from the third birth and walking stairs and doing this and squatting and all that, it's just nonsense. It's nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. You're just tiring yourself out for nothing because your baby's gonna come when he or she's gonna come, and that's just what it is. And that's I learned that, big old lesson that pregnancy
But
because
you're not allowed that spaciousness when you work within the medical model. It's that simple. You're just not allowed the spaciousness that a lot of babies are going to require.
you are not. That was, I mean, and it was it's I can't even explain in words how amazing and empowering and freeing that experience was. I'm like, I never want to bring a baby into this world any other way now. Like, it's strictly free birthing for me here on out. Like, that's
So
it.
what, so kind of like maybe we could wrap on this note then. Like, could you articulate a bit when you say you know, this is the way for you? Like, why? What does it give you and your family that is so notable and so amazing for you that it's so clear this is the way?
I think peace, and it's just not feeling pressure. Like we're kind of loners, right? We're out here, we're in Florida, kind of by ourselves and everything like that. We don't always it's kind of hard to find individuals in our area on our frequency and energy. Just putting that out there. So having peace is very important for us. Not to When I had a midwife, and yeah, although it was like that was an experience in itself, and she was wonderful, but I don't like people all in my space. Do you understand? Like, it's like being checked and having to, and I remember having to fill out food journals, and I'm like,
Oh, God.
I'm a fitness crazy person. Do I really need to tell you what I eat? Like, it was just
That's so intense.
Somebody else, they may be like, wow, this is awesome. It was a pain in the ass for me to have to go through.
Well, also, you know, you keep saying like, oh, she's so amazing, blah, blah, you're so wonderful, but she also completely sabotaged your third birth. Like, sabotaged your birth.
She did. Because I'm not, that's the nice part of me that's like, oh, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but it's like.
But also, when do you call a spade a spade? Like, you know, I mean, her supposed so-called care was so horrible for you that you never wanted it again. Like, she ended midwifery for you. I mean,
that's what freaked some people in my family out, because they heard what happened with the third birth, and they kind of like, oh, because they're seen as like saviors. Oh, because
so boring. Yeah.
And it's like, why would you do it without anyone present if this has happened during your third birth, you know? And it's like, you don't even understand the half of it.
They don't.
That this would have went such a different way if she was not even there. And that's just...
It's like imagine a culture where whenever you have sex with your partner, there's a third person there. And they're there to just kind of like, you know, chart some notes and give some tips. And sometimes they get involved, but like, you don't love them. You're not like turned on by them. They're a professional in the room. And this is how everybody has sex in this culture. You know, they have to have a third party. You arrange it, you hire someone, they come, they watch you have sex. They give you pointers, they assess you. Sometimes, you know, they put things into his butt and they put things into your cavities. And they just, you know, this is all part of the culture. And then all of a sudden you get real sneaky one time and you have sex without calling the professional, and you and like, husband are like, oh shit, so much better.
That is
something there is some comparison there.
That is perfect. No, it makes perfect sense, because there's a moment where you're just like, even in the third birth, like I went upstairs and I was by myself laboring for a long time, and I liked it that way. Yeah. Everybody else was downstairs and it was just like peaceful. But there's a moment where you're feeling that peace and kind of tranquility, and then you have that interruption by someone checking your yoni for dilation. It's just like, I don't want to be part of it. Look at my little one.
What's really gnarly too is that everyone knows, providers all know, that there's no evidence-based reason to do that. So then that's when you actually stop and think, oh, that's actually pretty dark, that providers know, whether they'll admit it to their clients or not, providers know that there is no evidence. There's no evidence-based benefit to the mother to do a cervical exam. And yet it is a abuse ritual that they continue to do. Like, explain that, you know? I mean, that's really a dark, dark practice.
It's unnecessary. And
but this is your third walking around.
This is my third. This is
the one. I was like, that's not a one-year-old. This is very one advanced.
That third. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a perfect time to end. Anything you want to say before we end? How can people find you online?
You can find me on Morphin Mama, TikTok predominantly, but TikTok and Instagram. You can find me on Morphin CMOS. Come get our CMOS. Right. We have one that's called Baby Mama that I'm so proud of, because it took the three herbs that I used throughout all of my pregnancies, and we just combined it with CMOS and made like just a powerhouse of a supplement.
Nice.
So I've taken that. I'm drinking it now in my little like witchy cup.
Your goblet.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Joy. Yeah, we'll put those links in the show notes. And thank you so much for your time. I love your story.
Welcome.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support this podcast by donating to it through the link in the show notes below. And of course, leaving an awesome review on whatever platform you listen on. The more reviews, the more visibility the show gets. So let's spread the good word of Sovereign Birth. Don't forget, you can watch our podcast interviews on YouTube and see the women as they tell their birth and power stories. And you'll also find our viral free birth collection of epic raw birth videos on our YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to our channel. We've always got a lot going on at Free Birth Society, and you can find out all about it at freebirthsociety.com, at Free Birth Society on Instagram, and opt in to my newsletter below.
We offer courses on free birth, authentic midwifery, the blood mysteries, as well as one-on-one coaching, in-person retreats, and of course, our annual women's gathering, the Matriarch Rising Festival. Our exclusive, private, vetted membership, The Lighthouse, is definitely something to check out if you're looking for a community of wise sisters to get guidance from and to meet in real life. Together we rise, sisters. We must speak our stories, fully claim our lives, and support one another. This is the living revolution, and I am so grateful to be in it with all of you. I'll leave you with our gorgeous Free Birth Society theme song, Wild Woman by Aruba Red.
I honor you for the wisdom you held, the ancient traditions of plant medicine and womb magic. I feel the spirit of the ancestors as I place my hands upon my belly. This sacred portal will be honored. Eons upon light beams of survival, withstanding the eradication of our power by design. I will not allow the separation of our young to be forced upon me. My sisters will no longer birth in captivity. The picket line redefined from burning our wild women to paralyzing us and drugging our babes. Strapped down in a clinical white bed, drying up the milk from our breasts, keep your needle. My family will never again be doomed to chase those dragons or your poison. We reject your fear. We choose love. Everything with intention. Death, ascension. I will fly and bring her back.